Everyone, welcome back to the Rancor's Brothel.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I didn't know we were going around the table.
Hi.
It's all right. All right. So, as you probably noticed, there are a couple of different voices around me. This is our normal recording day, but due to holidays and family engagements, we've got a little different crew. So I was asked to run something a little special. So we're going to do some Delta Green. This is actually the Brothel's second Delta Green game. The first one was destroyed by the government for revealing too many secrets. So
lost in space and time.
We will see if we can free the signal on this one and get it out to everybody.
I like that.
You like it good?
Yeah.
What was the last one you guys played?
We did one called Convergence. It's in the basic handbook. It was a really, really, really good game. Troy got shot by one of his fellow agents. They tried to hurt themselves. They turned on each other. There was the killing of alien beings, maybe, question mark. So it's a good time. We'll see if that one ever gets found.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed playing that game.
So since this is actually the official first Delta Green game for the Brothel, we should probably explain a little bit. Delta Green is an offshoot of Call of Cthulhu. It takes place in the mid-90s, and it's a little bit like the X-Files meets Call of Cthulhu. So Delta Green is a black ops group, question mark, may or may not be legitimized by the government, that handles mysterious eldritch things that pop up. The group's set up in various cells. There are 26 cells, each one for every letter of the alphabet, and they sort of, just like a terrorist group, you know some of the people below you, but you don't know the people above you because that protects the integrity of the group. Anyway, so we will get started here in just a second, but I figure we'll go around, introduce everyone who's here, because we got some varying voices, some voices we don't normally hear, and some voices that are old favorites, and we'll be playing some different characters. So if you guys want to give a quick pitch of who you are, sort of a base character, stats, give an idea of how you plan on playing your character for this adventure.
Are we revealing our real names, or does that matter?
It's up to you. Troy is already getting into the secret black ops aspect of the game.
I mean, we're introductions. So, this is not really in game.
Correct. So. If you don't want other characters to know your name, they don't necessarily know your name in game.
This guy. Go screw it. I don't care. My character's name is Malcolm McLeod. I am Scottish. Thank you very much. I work for NORAD, and I'm a systems operator. Code name is Quasar. Thank you, Daniel, for that name.
You're welcome.
Lucas?
My character's name is Edgar A. Poe. Because why not? I work for the U.S. Department of Defense, and my code name is Quantum.
I am playing Agent Quiver. I am a criminal investigator for the CIC. That about sums up my character.
All right. Cool. He's being very secretive.
We'll figure it out.
Doesn't matter at all.
All right. So, as you may have noticed, they all have Q names. So, they are the three members of Q Cell. Just to give you guys a little background on who you are, you all do know each other, at least by Quantum, Quasar, and Quiver. Whether or not you know each other's names, whether or not you know what each other does, you're probably familiar with, for example, Quantum, it definitely is this fit athletic dude who probably has special forces tattoos. So you've got that much on him. Troy's character, Quasar, is a little more probably nerdy, but he's also the biggest of all of you, which is a little different, a little, not stereotypical. But you probably
work out.
You definitely have been more highly educated than the others, so that probably shows through a little bit. And you notice that Quiver is very good with people. Anytime you guys need to deal with people, he's the one sort of manipulating them, so you would assume some sort of investigative training and maybe some psychology, etc. So at the base, you know that. Whether or not you know each other's real names, where you live, etc., etc. That's up to you. Anyway, we are playing an original game out of Delta Green's book Countdown. I am not telling you the name of the scenario until later. So, audience, you already know. I think it's too much of a spoiler, but it's also a beautifully elegant name. So, it's a great name. This is a Detweiler scenario. He is sort of one of the fathers of Delta Green. So, it's going to be strange. It's going to be weird. It's going to be fun. Everybody ready to go?
Yep.
Ready like spaghetti.
Cool. Everybody got your notes? Because you probably need it. Okay. So, Q-Cell. You guys realize that you're part of Delta Green. You've probably been a part of Delta Green for a number of years, probably no more than five. And in that time, you've been called in to do sort of like paperwork. You show up and they're like, hey, these documents are really secretive. You know, don't worry about touching them, just destroy them. Or, hey, we need you to transport this bit of material from here to here, don't look at it. Obviously, at some point you looked at it because you all have Cthulhu Mythos. So you all have seen something strange. You all know that they're telling the truth, that there are things out there that go bump in the night and that come from the night sky that are horrific and human beings should not deal with them. So you all know that that's true. Now, that being said, you also realize that you are Q-Cell. You are hardly, you know, you're not the ones they're sending to go after evil cultists. You guys are paper pushers. So usually you get called up, you go on your mission, take care of it relatively simply, and you go back home. So Quasar is probably from Colorado. Lucas, did they say you're probably based on the coast? Probably DC, New York, something like that. Preference?
We're Boston.
Okay. You're located out of Boston. Daniel, you probably, did you remember where they said CIC was located?
I didn't look that much into it.
Probably Virginia. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay. So you guys are, various points and you all receive a, coded message. It is an invitation to a night at the opera. Which you all know is code word for you have a Delta Green mission. It's giving you a place to report. There's something strange about this one, though. This isn't like the other ones you've got before. Does anyone have cryptography?
No. No, we don't.
Okay. Is cryptography? Cryptography is a learned skill, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about this before we started. Insight rolls? Something affect to insight? What do we got? This is where you can throw out any of your skills because we play so many games. I forget what skills are. What?
What goes off insight?
I'm trying to think.
I mean, I got library use. I got law.
I got library use as well.
Okay. Well.
None of us know anything at all.
That's about it.
Okay. Cool. I mean, all you know is that this is really weird. Then. Because none of you apparently have an applicable skill for deciphering anything.
Are we going to a place where other people will be meeting with us?
So normally, you guys are Q-Cell. You have a handler who goes by Quentin. So you would meet Quentin at a location. You all would show up at said location. He would tell you what you need to do. You would do it. You would give Quentin a call. However, there's something that just is not quite right about these particular invitations to a night at the opera. It's a coded message, obviously, and you know the cipher, so you can easily uncode what it's telling you to do, but you're a little uneasy about this particular message.
We can't, because we don't have technology.
No, you can't. You don't know why, but you definitely know that this is different. Sort of like, since it's the season, say your mom's really good at making pumpkin pie, and you go in and you taste the pumpkin pie, and you're like, that's not mom's. I don't know why, but I know it's not mom's. You know that there's something a little strange about this invitation. Mm. But you're expected to meet... What is today? Today is, we'll say August 9th. It's the evening of August 9th. And we'll put it in 1995 because it's a good round date. So you obviously have access to cell phones and stuff like that. But they're not.
Flip phones.
Right. You have all been tasked the evening of August 10th to meet in the New York Public Library. On the fifth floor, research room B at 8 p.m. So for some of you, that's not a big deal. Some of you are going to have to travel.
Say that again.
New York Public Library. I said fifth floor, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Research room B. Do you know how libraries sort of have that sort of walled off area where you can go and do specific research away from the rest of the library?
Do you give it time?
8 o'clock.
Is it a.m.?
P.m. So like I said, you notice that that's what, when you decipher, you get that. So, I mean, that's obvious. But there's just something that's nagging you about this. Maybe it's not from Quentin. Maybe it's something different. He normally doesn't arrange a meeting quite in this fashion, so it's everything's a little different. A little off. So, you essentially have 24 hours to be in New York City. What would you like to do?
I guess pack a bag.
As I say, you got a bug out bag. You got to get flying.
Yeah.
You're probably taking a red eye.
Yeah, pack a bag. Would I be able to take a gun with me?
How are you traveling to New York City? We decided you were in Virginia, so you could drive.
I'd probably just drive there.
You could easily drive as well.
Yeah.
If you both are driving, then you both have personal cars, and you both could carry whatever weapons you would have in your home.
Okay.
So, Daniel, you have a handgun. That was the one thing I forgot to do before we started. I meant to give you guys all the handguns that you have.
Yeah.
Lucas, are you wanting something outside of
your sort of have a handgun as well.
Right. Like Troy, handgun. You're going to have trouble taking a handgun on a... Well, this is 1995. You could probably get away with a handgun on a plane.
But... Yeah. With what I'm... My character build would probably have a combat knife.
That's fine. Yeah, you can have a combat knife.
I'm going to have a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, sure. It works for me. That all sounds realistic. And it is 1995, so you are able to get through security without taking off your shoes. And you also can carry a knife on the plane.
Yeah.
Is there a percentage on this?
Well, him using a Swiss Army knife as a weapon isn't going to work very well for you.
Use mine.
Yeah, it's going to be your fist punch skill.
Oh, okay.
There's probably actually a knife skill, but I'm not going to take the time to look it up, so we'll go with fist punch.
They don't have fist punch on here either.
This...
Yeah, I had to write it in.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah, write it down in weapons.
And I'm going to give you guys...
I do have a rifle as well.
Probably... What's standard police issue? 38? Or 9mm? Something like that?
Something like 9mm, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, back then, probably something... Yeah, something like...
All right.
I don't know
the
blocks are around.
All the stats for them are... basically the same in this game. They all do 1d10 damage. You have 6 bullets in the gun, 2 attacks a round. And that's for either a 38, 9mm, or automatic. So yeah, it's probably just a 38. 38 automatic.
Now, do we have more ammo than just the 6 shots?
I'm sure you might have a spare clip or two, yeah. You also could, you know...
Sort of clip, we're capping the clip at 6.
No, I mean, you have 6 in the clip.
Okay.
You have additional bullets.
I don't know how many bullets are in a clip.
Well,
I don't need guns.
Bins.
I mean, in this case, because it says 6, then I'm going to go with 6.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, 6 in the gun.
Additional ammo.
How much do you want to carry?
A lot? I
don't know. Just asking you. You're going to meet somebody in the library. How much ammo do you need to walk into the library, Lucas?
I mean, I get a feeling I'm not going to just the library here.
That's fair. You could also go to the gun store. Do whatever you want, man. How many extra... You want to carry an extra carton? You got an extra carton of 38 ammo.
All right, we'll do that.
All right.
All right.
I'm sure you'll be completely inconspicuous walking around with 1,000 extra rounds of 38 ammo.
Yeah, man, I got like the belt straps crossed, like Rambo style.
Yeah, because definitely you got that auto-feeding 38 automatic.
Yep.
All right.
So other than that, just pack a bag and go.
Okay.
What was the damage for fist punch and knife?
It's 1d3. Unless you have the damage bonus, in which case it's 1d3 plus 1d4, which Troy has, so Quasar has that. And Quantum, you've got martial arts, so if you roll and hit, you're going to do an additional d3 of damage.
That's with an impale?
No. What's your martial arts skill?
40.
Okay, and what's your fist punch?
50.
So as long as you roll a fist punch of 40 or less, it activates your martial arts, in which case you roll an additional D3, so it'd be 2D3.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So you're flying through the middle of the night, probably uncomfortable, baby crying behind you, it's unfortunate. Quantum and Quiver, God, this is going to be painful.
Yes, it is. You went with Q.
You guys went with Q.
I was not my choice.
So Quantum and Quiver, are you guys obviously could theoretically leave the next day if you wanted to. You don't have to get there that night, but I'm just giving you the option if you'd like to.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Do you have each other's personal cell phone numbers?
Probably. We worked together before, yeah.
We worked together.
Okay. Just saying, if you wanted to contact each other before the meeting, you could do that as well.
You and I could probably get together quicker than him.
Yeah.
You guys could ride together if you want to. I mean...
That's true.
Pitch on my motorbike.
Well, oh my god! No, I do not.
Now if he's in Boston, pass. He's in Virginia.
Oh, I thought he was in Baltimore.
I don't know if he changed.
No, I'm in Boston.
Oh, okay. Well, so never mind then.
A fun accent. Just because you're based in Boston doesn't mean you're from Boston.
Oh.
It's like if you live in England for long enough, you start picking up the accent. I don't know if that works that way.
Does it work in America?
Madonna did.
Yeah.
That's longer than a few years, though. Okay. Anything you guys would like to do, or are we fast-forwarding to the New York Public Library at 8 o'clock at night?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm flying in, if all I'm carrying really...
You mean you got a bug-out bag?
Yeah.
You're probably going to want a hotel room.
Right.
We could all feasibly get the same hotel room if you want to.
Yeah, when I land, I'll call them and connect and say, I got a room here at some place.
All right, so you've got a room somewhere in the city, and you guys are driving up that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that puts you all in the same place. Troy, you probably crash until late afternoon. It was probably 4 or 5 o'clock rush hour. You guys are all in the same place, same hotel room, same time. So you got a couple hours to get to the New York Public Library.
Okay. Anybody notice anything strange about the letter we got? Mine was a little weird.
I couldn't put my finger on exactly why, but yeah, it does seem off.
It was a little sketchy.
Maybe we should be careful with this because it's a little fishy. I don't know if I trust it or not.
Well, everybody pack some heat.
I got a Swiss Army knife. So that's a thing.
We'll have you going first.
Aww. Glass cannon.
I'll punch my way through.
The pikemen before the grenadiers.
I mean, there's probably a gun store in New York if you want to go to it.
1995? Yeah, there's a gun store somewhere.
Yeah.
Or a sketchy guy on the corner probably selling guns.
I don't feel like we need it yet.
Okay.
You guys are strapped. That's good enough.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I guess then unless we got anything else to do, I guess we just we got a few hours to kill, but...
We all basically have like a small carry-on, right?
You drove, so it depends on what you want to bring.
You had time to prepare. I had less.
Yeah, but you have a carry-on of stuff.
A couple changes of outfit. And
yeah.
Some toiletries.
So you and I are the only ones who have like weaponry and... I don't want to leave it in the hotel room.
Some charts, maybe.
I'm not going to leave mine in the hotel room either.
Yeah.
Probably a magazine.
Are you also reading 2001 A Space Odyssey?
Memorized it.
He's got a well-thumbed copy.
Yeah. Some Isaac Asimov. So I'm not leaving my stuff in the hotel room. I'm bringing it.
Okay. Sure. It's fine. So you're carrying around a giant case of 1,000 rounds? You put it in the trunk of your car.
1,000 rounds worth of stuff.
No. Just making you think about it now, because it might be important.
You could always just keep it in your car, and we'll just let you drive. I mean.
Okay. So you're all loaded into one.
Put all your junk in my trunk, and we'll go.
One four-door sedan.
And then we can leave.
Okay. All right. So you guys.
Your junk is in the trunk.
What are you rolling? What kind of car you got?
89 Honda.
I don't know. It's not very X-Files at all, but go for it.
I'm trying to be discreet. I'm blending in.
Like a Lincoln Continental or something.
Yeah, you got a Lincoln Continental. Dark color.
Dark gray. Not quite black. Dark
18-inch rims.
All right, so you guys roll up on the library. It is relatively active. I told you to go to, what did I say, fifth floor?
Fifth floor.
Research room B.
Okay. So you enter the library. There are stairs. There are elevators. You can make your way up however you want.
Pretty busy in there this time of day?
It's a weekday. We'll call it a Tuesday. Why not? It's a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday.
So on a Tuesday night, it is one of the largest libraries in New York. It's probably getting ready to close shortly. So there's a lot of activity on the first floor. But it seems like a lot of people are, people are putting their bags on and checking out books, and it seems like the motion is out, not in.
Okay.
Fifth floor?
Yep.
Elevator?
Ding.
I'm taking stairs.
Stairs.
Okay. You guys take the stairs. So the elevator would probably normally bring you up into a very nice central location. The stairs are obviously on the close to the exterior of the building. So you guys kind of come up in the middle of the stacks, and you can tell that this is where more serious research gets done. Obviously, like the children's books and, the Danielle Steele novels, those are all on lower floors. This is very, very quiet. So lots of stacks, lots of old research tomes. It smells very musty, and you can see sort of off in the way a bit, you can see these sort of central boxed off room areas where you can see 1995, what, somebody running Windows 3.1. You can see some rows of computers and stuff. You probably see old, the old reels where you can look at newspaper slides and stuff. Those you got that's the kind of space that you're in.
Cool.
But you are definitely off the beaten path a little bit. You're kind of back in the corner and you don't notice anyone nearby.
Nobody at all on this floor.
Well, you're kind of in the stacks. Give me a spot hidden roll. Got practice that die rolling.
27. So I gotta go under a 60.
Yep.
7 out of 65.
So for you, that's an impale.
Fail.
All right. So Troy, again, Quasar is kind of looking up and down and kind of leaning back and forth between the stacks because you know how it's so easy to sort of hide in the library. And you don't see anyone, but you also know it's a big space. It'd be easy for someone to be doing some research in one of the corners, nooks, and have no idea that they're there. Thanks to your Delta Force training, you know, you sweep the room very quickly with your eyes and you duck a little bit better and you've sort of cased the whole floor as best you can from this position. You don't think anyone else is here but you three. Which is not, I mean, you tend to work in secluded areas, but at the same time,
not out of the ordinary for us to be alone.
Right. But typically, when you're doing paperwork, you know, disposal and eradication processes and transport processes for Quentin, you typically met him in a more active location.
Okay.
So it's a little strange that you are in the middle of nowhere, essentially. So
I guess, since none of us see anything, we feel it's strange that we're by ourselves.
A little bit. It's a little different.
What time is it? Do we have?
It's around 8, right?
Yeah, sometime after 8.
Oh, it's after 8, and there's still no one here besides us?
Not that you can see.
We haven't gotten to the research room yet.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So it's a little weird that we're here by ourselves, so just be on guard.
Okay.
You go to the research. It's a little too wrath.
You hear the... you headed to the research room?
Yep.
Hey, maybe you was out by then.
Oh, oh yeah. Absolutely. 89? 90?
Okay.
We're in 1995, so...
Yeah. I'm saying, yeah.
So you guys move into, again, you know, sort of one of those little secluded rooms, probably 15 computers. A couple of them have screens on. There's a printer, maybe a couple of phones, chairs. But you can see one clearly labeled B, and the door is closed.
Is it locked?
Nope. The handle turns.
And we'll walk in.
Okay.
The lights off. Like, is there a window on it?
Yeah, you can see. You're seeing into the room. It's two big paneled windows on each side of the door.
Okay.
And you're not seeing anyone in there. Nobody it's all inside. Equipment.
Okay. Creep on in.
Okay.
Turn the computer on.
Sure. I mean, you move the mouse on any of them and they all pop away from the screensaver of the day.
This is probably the one that looks like the balloons that's going... You can't see this at home. But
no, it's the one that's doing the multiple colors, the old Apple II ones.
Oh.
Or no, at that time of day, 95, you're doing the pipes thing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So when you move the mouse, it asks for a username and password.
Pipes
you know,
maze.
Welcome to New York Public Library, username and password.
The brick maze. That was what was that?
I mean, would my computer use? I mean, why did that like include any kind of like hacking abilities?
Or? Yes, computer use is hacking abilities.
Okay. Would we have a login to something?
To the New York Public Library? None of you are from New York, so probably not.
Well,
I'm assuming at this time computers weren't just walk up and use it nearly as much. It was a little more research-based, right. So you probably had to get permission, you know, to be able to use it.
I don't remember having to put a login in 1995 either just to get into the computer itself.
In a library, you would. I mean, even a library today, you do.
I don't remember back then. So.
No, libraries for sure, yeah.
Okay. These are a little bit, Quasar definitely would know. These are a little bit higher tech. These are a little bit nicer. Like, they've got the Apple IIs playing the Oregon Trail downstairs for the kids. This is...
I'm going downstairs.
You probably have 1995. You probably know. What's the best connection, internet connection you got at that point? You're probably not...
It's dial-up.
It's dial-up, but you can get better connections. You're not quite to a T1 yet, but you could get some good connection.
Yeah.
Like, these are hard-lined in. This is good stuff. Yeah. But yes, with computer use, you could... A good role, you could easily access a computer.
This is like public access. I don't think there's any really anything.
Well, I mean, if it's connected to the phone line, I can get anywhere.
Yeah. It's up to you.
Is there anything else in the room but computers?
Printers. A couple of printers. Looks like a couple of desktop phones.
Are there any security cameras?
Spot hidden.
Pass.
56 out of 65.
So that's a pass? So you know, Quasar's a little more interested in playing with the computer because you're like, hey, this is better than the model I have at home. Well, probably not. You're like, hey, this is a pretty nice model for a public library.
The one you have opens up the chevrons.
You two, being a little more investigative-minded perhaps, you happen to glance up, and both of you spot what looks like off in the corner of the room there might be a little security camera hanging right there, sort of pointed into the middle of the room.
Okay. Being agents of some kind of organization, perhaps we might have some sort of signals that we can use that are not verbal?
Well, you probably know some signals for Delta Force. Are you attempting to signal him?
Well, I mean, if we all work together, we would all know. If we all had like a common signal, we would know them, right?
What are you attempting to signal to the two of them?
Be on the lookout. We might be being watched.
All right, I'll give you both intelligence rolls. Not you, Lucas. You're making the sign.
Okay.
Just flat out intelligence.
Yeah. Just roll against, roll against idea.
Pass.
You were like, what?
Like, I'm into this Oregon Trail right now. Like, I'm getting malaria.
And you two sort of nod to each other like, okay, yeah, got it. And you're like, what are you guys doing? Sort of thinking of, oh, what is that, Saving Silverman, where he's doing the cheeseburger thing? Yeah, you're like, what? Why does this guy do anything?
I only know my Navy signals.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going on right now.
Are there something in the room that I could cover up the camera with?
Are you wearing a jacket? I mean, there's not much. There are chairs, there are computers, there's not much.
No,
There might be a dust thing, but it's going to be clear that you can put on top of the computer.
Middle of summer, I'm not wearing a jacket. Unlikely, so.
Nope, summer in the city. One of the phones starts ringing.
When do you guys want to get that?
There's no caller ID this time, is there?
Nope, just a phone ringing.
There would be. There could be.
It wouldn't be, it's probably not here. It's probably still a,
okay,
not a dial, but it's probably still has the pushy buttons.
Yeah, it still has pushy buttons.
Yeah, when do you guys want to pick that up?
I'll answer it.
All right. And you answer it, and you hear an unfamiliar voice say, hello, Agent Quantum, is it?
Could be.
Will you put me on speakerphone, please?
All right.
Do you put him on speakerphone?
Bloop.
It's like, as you hear him say, good evening, Q-Cell. And then you hear a click, click, click. And then you hear a whoosh. Pretty sure he just lit a cigarette.
He says, this guy.
Yeah. He's like, my name is Marcus.
That doesn't start with a Q.
Very perceptive. I'm glad you are the government's best and brightest.
Well, you're calling us for a reason, so obviously.
Yes. I brought you here because I need you guys to investigate something for me. Third drawer to your left, Quiver, underneath the desk.
Okay.
So we don't have all day.
Go reach over there.
You pull out a file folder.
Okay, I wanna...
Get off the Oregon Trail.
And as you open up the file folder, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, you flip open the file folder and you see a picture of a beautiful 20-something-year-old woman. You know, sort of one of those stereotypical headshots that you see given in, you know, spy movies. And you see underneath that the name listed is Abigail Wright.
Is that Wright, W-R-I?
Yes. Okay. We may or may not have a problem, gentlemen. I've called you here to deal with the disappearance of Abigail. Abigail has not been seen in the last... Abigail was last seen approximately 4 days ago by her father. He then reported her missing. She lives here in Manhattan.
What's her father's name?
Father's name is Thomas Wright. He's a Nassau County police officer. We believe he pulled some strings to get this investigated because there's not much to go on. Approximately 4 days ago when they began investigating it, investigating the case on the 6th, is that right? Hold on. I got the dates wrong. That's weird. Okay, sorry. Backtrack a second here. I had to go to the timeline. She was reported missing on June 4th by her father. He pulled some strings with the
NYPD. On June 4th?
Yeah, June 4th.
So we're in August.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. There, it says 4 days ago, and I'm starting to look at that. I was like, that doesn't make sense, because there's more time gone there. So on June 4th, she's reported missing by her father. Apparently, he attempted to contact her at her residence here in Manhattan. He used the key to get in and found a disturbing scene. Because he was a police officer, he was able to get NYPD to investigate. They interviewed everyone in the apartment. They investigated the apartment. It is basically considered a defunct crime scene now, as they have no evidence. No one seems to know where she went, what was going on. The NYPD more or less closed the case. The case was reopened after on August 4th, one of her credit cards, which has been tagged by all the credit, you know, all the credit industries as part of an ongoing investigation by the NYPD. Her credit card was used to purchase a pack of cigarettes in Maryland.
What day was that?
August 4th.
So a month to the day.
Yes.
2 months.
Yeah. 2 months to the day.
Sure. Yeah.
At which point the FBI gets involved. They officially begin investigating it on the 6th as a possible kidnapping. 6th of August. They investigate Maryland, but all signs point to this being a dead end. The signature on the card was not her own, and security footage at the gas station where the cigarettes were purchased show no sign of her, so it is a wonder whether or not that it was just a potential stolen credit card that made its way to Maryland, as opposed to actually having anything to do with her potential kidnapping. As of today, August 10th, the FBI is officially beginning an investigation, a more detailed investigation of her apartment because of what was left behind, an attempt to understand what may have happened to the girl. It is my understanding, from some of these shots, some of the photos that were taken at the scene of the crime, that information was passed to me that this may be something that is DG important to look at. So you three are tasked with looking into this and seeing, if possible, what's going on and decide what we should do about the matter.
So are there more photos in this file than just her picture of her then? Do we have crime scene photos?
You have a couple of crime scene photos that are tagged from the NYPD. And what you see it doesn't make a lot of sense what you're looking at. It looks like you're like seeing sort of a, there's not really a wide shot per se. You're seeing just crap covering the walls. And it looks like it's been glued on there. All sorts of things. CDs, notebooks, paper, electronic bits, records, an old phonograph. All these things appear to have been glued onto the walls and ceilings with no sense of purpose.
Is this the disturbing scene, the father scene?
Yes.
Okay.
Upon seeing this, he believes that something had happened to his daughter.
Is there anybody living in this apartment now? Is it vacant?
No, the apartment is vacant. It's part of the ongoing investigation.
So it was never destroyed. What I'm seeing in this photo was still there.
Correct. The NYPD did not take it apart, as they didn't understand it. The FBI now has been tasked with taking it apart bit by bit and detailing all the information, seeing if we can track serial numbers, stolen bits of equipment. Maybe the FBI believes that they can track it that way and might be able to find some possible lead on Abigail.
What's the address?
He gives you the address. It's Midtown Manhattan, and it's known as the McAllister Building. Now, the gentleman, the New York FBI office, is officially going in to chemically analyze some of the odd substances recovered, to search serial numbers on manufactured items, and to track down ownership. Apparently, several of the papers found are in foreign languages. Some of them may be historical documents, and they're all sort of hodgepodge together throughout her apartment.
Did Abigail Wright have a career? What was she a student?
Abigail was an artist.
What kind of artist?
She was a successful commercial illustrator. It is my understanding that she most recently sold at a gallery called the Mercury down on Franklin Street. She managed to sell 14 or 15 pieces, and she has taken off the next 6 to 8 months to focus on her artwork, which is when she began taking up residence at the McAllister.
Okay. Is there an address to that gallery as well?
Franklin Street.
It's on Franklin Street.
Just Franklin Street. Sorry, I missed that.
Now, when did she take her leave of absence?
According to the father and police records, sometime around the turn of the year, late January.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Is Abigail originally from New York? The family originally from New York?
We'll say yes. I mean, her father's Nassau County, so, I mean,
I wasn't sure the if city was, region. Like, a student visiting New York and then just went missing.
No. She's from the area.
Okay.
The general region in and about New York City. Because I don't know where Nassau County is.
I have no idea.
Not exactly, no.
Sorry, listeners of the brothel who live in that area. We are stuck in the Midwest and do not know such things.
I don't know. County's in Illinois. It's his next state over.
You can complain about it at betweencoocrits@gmail.com.
All right.
What importance is this? Like, what is the reasoning for this case?
Strictly information gathering. It may be nothing. It may be everything. I'd like you men to go in and investigate and see what you can find out.
What about it makes you believe that it is DG necessary?
You mean besides the stuff glued to the wall?
Besides the stuff glued to the wall.
That's on a need-to-know basis, according to Acel.
I need to know.
Acel says you don't.
Acel can go suck.
I'll pass the message along.
Why are you testing us with this and not our usual handler?
What's your connection to the case?
I'm more focused on things in this region, so it was brought to me personally. After speaking with Command, it was decided to bring you guys in. You guys have had some experience dealing with sorting and documentation of sensitive materials, and since we have no confirmed evidence of anything supernatural, it is essentially data collection at this point.
Where's Thomas at?
Thomas is her father. Father.
Is the father still around?
He works as a police officer in Nassau County.
You didn't really answer my question. Why wasn't our usual handler contacting us?
I'm contacting you.
That's not answering my question.
Correct. You hear me? Do you gentlemen have any other questions?
I need an address to the Nassau County Police Department. Possibly Thomas's home if you have it.
There's a thing called the internet.
Yeah, but it's really slow.
I can get it pretty fast.
All right.
He will double hack. He'll hack with both sides of the keyboard.
Is there anything else we need to know?
Well, we need to contact you if we find out anything. And if so, how?
My number's on the back of the file. And you flip the file over and you see that there is a cell phone number.
Okay.
Contact me only in extreme cases. Otherwise, the organization has tasked you to take care of this.
Okay. What was his name? Marcus?
Marcus.
No last name.
Really? Really quantum? No last names?
What?
Of course there are no last names.
Did he say his name was Agent Marcus or Marcus?
Doesn't matter. His name is Marcus.
M comes before Q. That's all that matters.
Yep. He's higher up than us.
I knew we should have picked N.
What was I gonna say? There was something else I was gonna say. Oh yes, Quasar, the chair beside you, underneath it, there's a small bag.
Okay, I reach for it.
You open it
up. What's in it?
You notice that there are several fake IDs, all showing your pictures and FBI badges.
That's all that's in there.
You gentlemen will be posing as FBI officers, you know, as agents of Federal Bureau of Investigation, looking into this matter. This should get you clearance to anything that you need. Obviously, you want to be careful pushing the button with anyone, because if you do and they call up to the local office, they're not going to know who you are.
So, I mean, are the names on these badges our code names? Dumb
no.
Like Quasar?
I was wanting to know what my name was. I want to look at my badge and see what my name is on it.
They're all very, very generic. One of you can be Smith, one of you can be Johnson, and one of you can be Thompson. Or whatever other name you choose. If your names were a little more normal for Q, then yes, they would have been Quentin or whatever. All right.
I wanted to be Agent Edwards, and then Lucas could be Agent Van Halen.
Agent E. Van Halen. All right.
It's Van Hagar.
All right.
It's never Van Hagar.
Is that everything we need to know, guys?
I think that's everything. I guess
he's not being super cooperative with information.
I think that's about everything we can get.
Is there anything else you need to tell us before we hang up this phone? Is this message going to self-destruct?
you don't know how, but you have a feeling Marcus is staring disapprovingly at you right now.
I look up at the camera that I thought was there and wave and then give him the finger.
Phone goes click.
That showed him.
Okay.
There's a camera up there if you didn't see it because you were playing Oregon Trail in there.
Yeah, I saw it. Just didn't care.
Okay. Where should we start first? The apartment, probably.
Hack into the computer, see if you can get the any information on Thomas.
Clickety clack.
Roll that.
I'm sucking.
You lock up the computer.
Let me give this a shot over here.
You and Peter too.
Pass.
On computer use?
Yep.
Okay, so you pull up Ask Jeeves, and you...
It's not just Jeeves at that time?
No, it's Ask Jeeves. You ask Jeeves, who is Thomas Wright, Nassau County Police Officer, and you get generic sort of information. He is an officer. He works for Nassau County. You don't get an address or anything like that from...
Probably get the sheriff's office or something.
Right, yes. Yeah. You could figure out how to contact him. But you're basically pulling up the website for the sheriff's department and seeing his name listed. So you have found that address.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go to the girls' apartment first.
Okay.
Yep. Sounds good to me.
Are you guys going to... I mean, it's now, say, 9 or later. The library's closed. I'm assuming you're going to go to the apartment and go to sleep... Or go to your hotel room and go in the morning?
Probably.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
I imagine we can't just open the door, or can we just open the door to the apartment?
I mean, we have FBI badges. I'm sure we can get in.
We'd have to wake up the landlord, which is fine. You want to go at night? We'll go at night.
This is a good question. You don't know who the landlord is. That was the next piece of information Marcus was going to share before you gave him the finger.
I mean, I don't think...
I'm sure there's a sign that says landlord inside of there.
We're going to be waking her up at 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
I mean, the apartment's been this way for 2 months. I don't think an extra day is really going to hurt anything.
Probably true.
Okay.
So
you go to bed.
I mean, tick
the tack on the computer and find the landlord's name in that apartment complex.
You could. That's fine. I mean, the library is here for you to use, and it doesn't seem like anyone's kicking you out.
Use the same roll that he already had.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can roll and see if you want to get more information. That's fine.
Get a pair of dice.
So, Daniel, you also are searching at that. You realize that... So, the apartment's on 32nd Street. But you realize that the McAllister building is owned by a company called Art Life. And you learn that Art Life...
Is that L-Y-F-E?
No. It's still the 90s. People still spell things with the correct letters.
Back in the good old days.
And you realize that the offices of Art Life are located at 23rd and 3rd Street East, and that it opens at 10:30 in the morning.
And this is the apartment complex office?
Yes. So the McAllister building itself is on 32nd Street. The quote-unquote landlord's office, as you put it, the company that owns the building, is on 23rd.
Okay.
We're going to have to go there to figure out who's the landlord of the McAllister building, since I aggravated Marcus.
You don't have to find out.
It could be useful.
Might also just be a big twist that's totally pointless, too.
True.
I mean, it's kind of weird that she was an art student. I wonder if they do things for art students.
Now, do we know anything more about art?
I'm going to make you roll a computer use for that one. Because I was giving Daniel that off the piggyback of the Thomas Wright.
Roll for computer use again and he try not to fail.
I just failed by 3.
You failed by 3?
Yeah.
Roll computer use real quick.
One.
That'll do it.
Okay. What you realize is that Art Life specializes in these sort of, and none of you are from New York, so you wouldn't think about this, but as you start searching, you realize that Art Life is run by a woman named Cynthia Lachance. And you realize that Art Life is not quite an outreach program. but that it is specifically for providing income, providing housing on a lower income basis for young artists. So specifically, the McAllister Building has been renovated to provide artists a space in the city, which, as you realize, that living there in Manhattan is not cheap. And that they're providing low-income renovated homes for these artists to use as studios.
Because they're starting artists.
Correct. So once you start Googling Art Life, well, you don't Google at this point. Once you ask Jeeves about Art Life.
Yeah. When did Google come in?
2001?
That was before that, wasn't it?
It was in the late 90s.
Anyway, so once you Yahoo answers the question, you realize that that's Art Life's shtick. They own, say, half dozen to a dozen buildings across the city providing, you know, places for artists to live and work.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
So you want to go sleep it off and then head out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Let's go sleep it off.
Okay. Next morning.
Next morning.
So who's sleeping together in the other double bed?
Those two.
I'm sleeping on the floor.
Fair enough.
I'm used to probably sleeping in weird areas.
Well, yeah. No, I imagine you with a fully loaded gun sleeping in the bathtub because it's the safest place.
You were okay with sharing your bike, but not the bed. That's,
I mean, you want to be big spoon or little spoon?
You are the smallest. I mean, even in the game.
Even in the game?
Yeah.
No.
All right.
Art imitating life.
Next makes me sad.
You guys wake up the next morning. You now you've had your crappy continental breakfast.
I'm visiting the local Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
No, Denny's. It's got to be Denny's.
Denny's. Sons of bitches always go to Denny's in my Call of Cthulhu game.
Something we didn't talk about beforehand.
It's always open.
Do we have, like, money? Like a certain amount of money? Or just...
I'll say that there was some... we'll say in there, along with the badges, there was some petty cash. Not a lot. So if you want to finance anything, it will take all of that money. Or, you know, there's stuff for hotel... You know, maybe a small bribe, maybe $500 of petty cash.
I'm sure we all make enough money to afford, you know, food and basic necessities. Yeah,
but right now,
how much money we would have on us.
But right now, this mission is, I mean, like, I assume that Troy's character put this room on his credit card because that's what he's got. Or paid for it in cash, which would be safer. But it's probably out of his own pocket at the moment.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So what are we doing? Head to the apartment.
You want to go to the apartment, or you want to go see Art Life first?
I want to see the apartment first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to the apartment.
Okay. So you guys travel to 32nd Street to see the McAllister Building. When you approach it, you realize it's an old brownstone dating back to the 1920s. It is a classic three-story brownstone with faux castle design.
Ooh.
You realize that, and as it has been remodeled, you realize that they've accentuated the sort of faux castle a little bit. So there's actually a portcullis. Mm-hmm. There's a fake portcullis which hangs above large double doors. There's artificial ramparts on the window ledges, and there are cheap concrete gargoyles that are perched on the rooftop.
They're like a crenellated roof.
Yeah. No, it's very stylistic. But it's also done kind of on the cheap. Like, you know, you've got like multi-million dollar buildings beside you, and this is definitely like, it's a nice place, but it's not, you know, it's not the nicest of the nice.
Crap. Did we know what floor her apartment was on? Did he even give us her apartment number?
No, he did not. But I suppose that would have been something that would have been included. We'll say that it's on the photos. It would have been apartment 10A.
So it's on the floor level?
Yeah.
Okay. So I could probably easily pick out which window is likely that apartment?
You notice that most of the windows are covered. Without really knowing the interior layout, I think it would be hard.
Okay.
Are you guys going in?
Yeah, we're going in.
Okay. So you open sort of into, you know, the double doors thing, you know. So you've got double doors, you know how you kind of do the airlock thing. So double doors into the mailboxes, and then there's a second set of double doors into what you see is a long hallway. Looks like the hallway runs all the way to the other end of the building and has, you can see, like, the first couple stairs on the far end.
I want to hang out in the atrium where the mailboxes are for a second.
Okay, you can do that.
I want to find her mailbox and look like and see if it has been disturbed recently.
Doesn't appear to be.
Okay.
You do realize that now that you're kind of looking at it, like, there's a lot of crap in this foyer. Like, a lot of crap. It's a small marble floored room, you know, where you've got all the mailboxes. And there's a lot of scattered, like, old newspapers, circulate, you know, sales circulars, pizza coupons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's quite a bit of that.
Okay. I was just scared.
And I'll go ahead and give you a spot hidden.
20. Fail.
I passed.
Rolled elder signs.
Did you roll all elder signs?
Yeah.
You see, you were complaining that you never have.
Man, I'm really sad you wasted a crit fail on a spot hidden.
No, I'm not.
You realize that there are a total of... Yeah, there are a total of 12 apartments. You see 12 mailboxes.
Okay.
Only 5 of them appear to have names.
Okay.
Taking it, her name's not on any of them?
Yeah. Nah. Oh, a Wright is... It shows 10A, A Wright. She's like the first mailbox.
12 mailboxes altogether on a, yes. On a 3-story building.
Correct.
So really big apartments then?
This is a fair assumption.
Well, she's on the first floor with apartment 10.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, 10 is like apartment 1. So it's probably 10, 12, 13, 14, but it's probably just 1.
Maybe.
That's kind of how they lay out dorm rooms.
All right. So... You realize that there's a buzzer system to let people in. Zzt. Who are we buzzing?
Buzzing the landlord.
You see that there is no listing for a landlord.
Then we buzz a room.
All right. Who would you like to buzz? There are listed. Oh, let me find it. There is an R, Karen. There is an A, Wright. There is a T, Manuel. There is an M, Van Fitz, and there's an L post.
Now, is there any way for us to get her mailbox open?
You get a locksmith?
The locksmith would do it without doing damage.
Well, I think we're going to do damage.
Yeah, you can tear it open if you want.
That's up to you.
I'm going to try to tear it open.
Why? There with what?
Would mechanical repair?
Mechanical repair, I would say you'd be able to do it with less damage. Okay. He's just going to bash it in with a tire iron. You might apply some leverage and pop the thing, but it's still going to show that you've disturbed it.
Yeah, let me do that.
Okay, so roll. What are you using? What tool? Like, he was literally just going to bash it in with the nearest thing.
I've got a Swiss Army knife, so I'm...
Can opener on the Swiss Army knife.
All right, so
it's got multiple things that, you know,
I will give you. Jimmy a lock. I will give you... What's your mechanical repair?
40.
It's kind of weird using a Swiss Army. I'll give you... Yeah, sure. Why not? I'll let you have your mechanical repair.
33.
Ooh. All right. So you jam the knife in there, and you kind of... And you pop the mailbox open, and you scuffed up your knife quite a bit. And it's going to be definitely obvious that you can only sort of push it shut now. It's not going to close again. But you find that that thing is chock full of mail.
Okay.
Obviously, she's been gone a long time. We'll take all of the mail.
Did anybody grab a bag out of the car?
No.
We parked close?
I'd say so.
Put the mail in the bag. So we're not just walking around with her mail in our hand.
Yeah.
We're FBI. We can do what we want.
Until we get questioned.
You're going to
want to. We're FBI. We can do what we want.
You may need an empty hand. Just in case.
I'll go out and grab the bag.
Okay.
There's probably a bag floating around inside this room right now.
Okay. Well, we'll grab a random bag that's floating around in the room.
Kroger sack.
Yeah, that was a spare.
Is there some emo kid in the corner photographing it?
Yeah, exactly. Life is so beautiful. You now have a sack of her mail.
Wait, any dude. Idea? Okay, so are there any cameras in this room?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
It's kind of an old building. I hadn't even thinking about it. So,
okay. Let's buzz Manuel.
Okay, Manuel. Buzz, 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 buzz. What does Manuel do during the day? I don't remember. Okay. You hear someone say, hello?
Yes. Is it
man? Woman? It's a male voice.
Mr. Manuel, we're the FBI. We're here to investigate Miss Wright's disappearance.
Oh, yes. Oh, you You need me to let you into the building.
Yes, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, yes. Anything to help out Laura. You hear the door open. You realize the door sort of just off to your... You notice the door just off to your left opens. And you see sort of a... you see a young man walk out. Small, kind of mousy guy. Sort of walks up and he sort of does whatever he needs to do to let you in. I guess he probably could have buzzed it
from the room. From the room, I would assume.
I suppose that's fair. It's a good point. Okay, the door clicks.
Okay.
But open. you see a mousy person sort of poking his head out from the door from room 11.
Okay. Open the door and I will go to his room. Go to him and ask him.
Yes, can I help you, agents? You have badges, yeah?
Yeah, here's my badge.
Flash a badge.
Yeah, we all do.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Are you a close acquaintance with Miss Wright?
Yes, yes. Laura and I talked often.
Why do you keep saying Laura?
Oh, that's what Abigail. That's what I called her. Laura's her middle name. Oh,
okay.
As they all double checked her, is that what he said?
When it wasn't said earlier, so.
It's true. I'm surprised the FBI is looking into it. I figured she just, you know, she's a great artist. I figured she just wandered off.
Does she have a habit of wandering off?
No, but you know, artists are free spirits and all that.
What kind of art do you do?
I'm a painter.
Any specific style? Any specific? Landscapes. What do you do?
I don't know that it defines exactly what kind of stuff he paints. He's a painter. We'll say landscapes. Yeah, he's a landscape painter.
Is he missing an ear?
No.
Sorry. Tickled myself. How long have you lived in the building?
A not insignificant amount of time. We'll say a year and a half.
On the night of June 4th, do you recall... any particular weird noises or anything happening that night or day?
No, I don't remember anything happening on June 4th. It's pretty quiet around here.
Is your landlord around anywhere?
Landlord? Are you talking about Art Life?
Sure.
Oh, well, no, their offices are located on, and he gives you the address before. Or...
So there's no one in the building that...
There's nobody on site that's
on site we can speak with
from them.
No. I mean, there's a night manager, but no one on site.
Someone we can get a key from.
Who's got? Let's go with. Well, I mean, I'm trying to think. Would they still lock it up? They'd still lock it up, I'd imagine.
I think it would be locked. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, would that mean that we would? Should also. Have a key.
Well, you're also not real FBI.
The key in the file?
No, but let's roll a persuade. Someone roll a persuade.
I don't have persuade. I have fast talk.
No, but you have somebody who has persuade.
Fail.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope, me neither.
I got fast talk. I don't have persuade.
Well, are you going to attempt to... If you're going to attempt to be pushy with this guy, you can fast talk him.
No. I'm not really being pushy. I'm just asking if there's anybody we can get a key from. Well, I'm not like grabbing him by the throat and saying, give me your key!
I don't know. He just sort of shrugs.
This is why I thought we should have gone to Art Life first.
Do you know if there's anybody else that she was close to in the building that might have a key?
No.
Was she involved with anyone else in the building?
No, not, I mean, Laura and I would talk from time to time, but, you know, a lot of people here just kind of keep to themselves, you know, there are a few parties every once in a while, but it's kind of quiet around here. You can fast talk him.
I'm gonna roll below a 5.
Probably not.
What do you got?
Nothing. I don't know. I mean, you guys don't trust him. I feel like I don't trust him either, but I don't know.
When I asked him if she was close to anybody, he wasn't, his expression to me wasn't honest.
Oh, can I do a psych roll? See if he's being honest?
Yeah.
4.
He's definitely intimidated by you guys. He probably knows how to get in there, but he's not sure if he should tell you or not.
Listen, Mr. Meanwhile, we're not here to, you know, freak anybody out. We're just trying to figure out what might have happened to Miss Wright. We just need to get into the building. We need to get into her apartment. If there's anything you can do.
Persuade roll.
Doesn't matter. I don't have nothing.
You got base persuade.
I have. Huh? It's zero. Oh,
no, 15.
Let's say you got some persuade.
Oh, okay. Look at the parachuting for some reason.
Well, zero. I already rolled persuade once, so would I be able to do it again?
Sure, why not? If that's what you're trying to do. I mean, Lucas is really the one persuading him, but you could stand there and look smiley and happy.
I passed that time.
But amongst the three of you, you sort of convince him. He's like, give me just a second. I think I can help. And the door swings open, and you guys see that you kind of glance at the apartment, and you do realize that the apartment is rather large, especially for this area of Manhattan. It is full living room, attached kitchen from what you can tell. It's all open concept, but it's very large. It probably takes up a quarter to a fifth. I mean, like, you could easily tell there are only four apartments on each floor, and his takes up a lot of the space. They all take up large portions of it. Does that make sense? But you also notice that his apartment is basically empty. Like, it's incredibly bare with no art on the walls, no books, next to nothing in there. Like a cup, like a chair and a table, and that's about it. You happen to see that as he pushes the door open as he's you know, puttering around.
Is he inviting us into his apartment, or we just see as he opens the door more?
He's backed away from the door, and so the door has swung open and he's walked away from it. How would you like to interpret that action?
I am stepping in.
Okay, go ahead.
So we're noticing basically an empty room besides a few pieces of furniture.
Yeah.
Nice place.
The apartment is basically bare minimum, so it feels more like your cheap hotel than a home. There's no signs of personalization whatsoever.
So has he gone like a has he walked a good distance away from us or?
You hear him once you walk in. So like I said, the apartment's very open concept.
Yeah.
And you can hear him rummaging in a closet farther away.
So we're not even noticing like art supplies.
No, you are not. I'm gonna go ahead and.
That's what's really. Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and give you guys this just so that you can visualize it, because I already gave you the names of it. So that's sort of a ground plan of what it looks like. So you guys are on the ground floor. So you guys came in through here and you walked into this room. So you can hear him rummaging about, you know, in one of these closets over here. So you can sort of see that it's a big living space and, you know, plenty of space to create art, you know, nice windows. There's probably a little kitchenette area over here. There's a little, you know, you can see his bed with like Chinese screen in front of it over here. And he's rummaging about in this closet next to the bedroom. But yeah, basically there's almost no sign of personalization whatsoever. It's more bare than you would expect, like, if someone was selling an apartement to have it.
Keep him talking. I'm going to take a look around.
I don't know how. You, moving out?
No. Been here for a while. Love it. You hear the voice from the other side of the room?
I want to like, kind of look around sneakfully.
Yeah. No, I don't want to question him too much. We don't want to freak him out.
You don't even need to speak.
You don't got to ask him questions. Around. Just talk to him.
It's so empty, like you notice things. You do notice that there is a lot of expensive stereo equipment against one wall. Spot hidden, Daniel, since you're headed that direction.
Pass.
You don't notice any tapes. You notice there are a whole lot of audio equipment, but you see no tapes, no records, no CDs. 95, you got CDs? Probably, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you don't notice any. You see a lot of expensive recording and stereo equipment, but you don't see any data, like anything to record on or listen to.
Nice equipment you got over here.
Oh, yeah, they were. My parents gave that stuff to me. I can't get rid of it.
Do you use it for anything?
Oh, you know, just art. And he comes back. He comes back and here's the key to Laura's apartment. It's okay to give you guys this, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And he hands you the key. if you guys don't mind, I need to get back to work. Can I get back to work, or do you have something else you want to ask me?
What were you working on?
Stuff. Sometimes, you know, the night manager lets me paint in the basement. That's where all my stuff is. Things.
Okay, well, you weren't in the basement before, so...
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I work up here, I work down there, it just depends.
But you got nothing in here to work with. I'm just confused.
He just sort of stares at you blankly, like you're an idiot.
Okay.
Like, art is life, man.
Apparently. All right, well, I don't think we got any more questions for you. We're going to go check out Abigail's apartment, see if we can't find anything.
Okay, well, if I can help, she probably just ran off, you know, lived somewhere else, you know, wherever the spirit took her.
Spirit?
You know, the artistic spirit. I'm assuming you guys are leaving now because he's just staring at you.
Yeah.
All right. So Thomas Manuel closes his door. And I'm assuming you guys open up the door to the key now that you got the key to the apartment.